Hi, Heather. This is Simona. How are you?
I'm pretty good. How are you?
Good.
So we have Dr. Meyer on the phone. We also have Ms. Fowkes and Ms. Galvin in the board office. And we do have an applicant on the phone, Dr. Elizabeth Bacon.
Okay. Thank you. I guess we can go ahead and get started. Today is March 1, 2019. The time is 7:32 a.m. and I would like to go ahead and call the Arizona Board the meeting to order. Ms. Fowkes, could you do the roll call, please?
Yes, Dr. Malott.
Here.
Dr. Meyer.
Here.
Okay, wonderful. Since we have Dr. Bacon on the line, I'd like to go ahead and move to Dr. Bacon's application, and I'll give you a second, Dr. Myers, to open the application. Thank you, Dr. Bacon, for being there. If you have any questions, we will ask you. Dr. Bacon received a request for additional information from the board. Dr. Myers and I were on the board when we reviewed it last week. On the board, the questions that we raised were the scientific and professional ethics and psychology. She listed professional procedures and survival in psychology and advanced topics. She also indicated for the section on assessment that she had advanced topic in applied behavior analysis. And for the section treatment modality, she listed topics in behavior analysis. So we requested a copy of her syllabi for that. The other issue that we had was that in her doctoral program, which the board requires that it needs to be in clinical counseling, school or educational or any other subject area in applied psychology acceptable to the board, and shall have completed a doctoral program in psychology. So we requested information from her department head or advisor that this indeed was an applied psychology doctoral program needing to license as a psychologist. Bacon submitted syllabi. The first syllabi that she submitted, and I'm going to review it, was professional procedures and survival in psychology. So talked a lot about time management and academic life, ethics, IRB, writing proposals, interviewing for jobs, academic jobs. There was one class on IRB, but again, was very related to research, teaching, very, very generic type of survival classes. Topics in applied behavior analysis, exactly like that, applied behavior analysis. And then her next syllabi was in advanced topics. We have some behavioral intervention, behavioral assessment, measuring and interpreting behavior, and I think this fell under the treatment area. I'm going through the syllabi. She also submitted some CEs. And and you know, some of our other courses that she completed, lots of CEs, and I am looking, there's also a letter from her department chair, Dr. Pereira. Dr. Pereira talks about that she was a graduate program. She earned a master's and doctoral degree in psychology. Their department requires a unique opportunity for students to acquire breadth of knowledge in the field of psychology. All graduate students have whole coursework with the understanding across different disciplines. And she completed coursework in cognitive, social, developmental, neurobiology, ethics, professional standards, research methods, stats, specialized training and learning, motivation, linguistic development, assessment, diagnosis of normal psych, and treatment. Then we did a research was with children with autism, and a lot of early intervention research that she did. She maintained a clinic which provided treatment to over 50 children in the program. She learned a wide array of clinical skills. She completed a postdoctoral position at the autism and various things. I'm also going to go back and review her transcript. So I'm going back to her initial requirements. So her internship was done at a non-APIC site, non-APA site. It was in the Autism Intervention Research Program. So, and her psychologist that supervised her was a licensed psychologist. And I'm looking to see. She did a postdoc at the USCB, again in autism, and the training, a lot of research, a lot of supervision and consultation, diagnostic and assessment, again, very, very, you know, related to autism and that specific field. There was a section on the ethics and socialization into the profession of psychology as part of her training or program. And again, it goes on. Now, I'm looking for a postdoc. That was the, I'm looking for a pre-doc internship agreement. And I'm not seeing one for a pre-doc, and we can ask. We have one kind of a generic one. It says 2011 to 2012. Our internship was in 2011, so that was for the internship. And then for the postdoc, she has another one, 2016 to 2018. The other I'm going back and also reviewing her transcript to see what it says in terms of the degree that she completed. And her degree was in psychology. Major was in psychology. She signed up for dissertation credits, independent research, apprentice teaching. And I don't see doctoral internship as a specific class, which is also slightly concerning. And here's my sense. My sense is that, I don't know, I am still not convinced that this is a degree in applied psychology as the board defines it. I'm willing to take this to the full board for consideration, so we have more pairs of eyes that look at it. her coursework in ethics does not meet the requirement. It did not cover APA ethics and, you know, ethics of the profession. So that course is still deficient. She does need 3 credits there. The other areas that were of concern were the assessment. I'm still not convinced that the assessment is, the assessment seems very, very narrow. Psychology is much broader than just applied behavior analysis. Well, that's perfectly acceptable. I'd like to see a broader course in assessment. In terms of treatment, you know, there's a lot of topics that one can include the treatment topics, so I'm less concerned about that. I am concerned that there was no formal internship. It was more related to, again, a very narrow area, and not, you know, our license is a generic license in the field of applied psychology, and her training is very, very narrow. And she is licensed in California, which, you know, California has issued her the license. I'm not, you know, but again, we're looking at Arizona criteria, and she would meet, I think she would meet the criteria, but I'm not positive she can apply for a license under the BCBA license that we have in this board, which her training and is definitely aligned with that. I can't speak to the direct, I mean, I'm not making a determination. It would be up to that committee. So those are my initial thoughts. Dr. Meyer, do you have additional comments?
Well, Dr. Malott, you covered just about everything I had. I noted that there were a lot of CEU certificates which don't count for the courses. So I also felt that neither the ethics nor the assessment components were met. I did feel like there was a sufficient amount of intervention. Like you said, it was directed almost solely to children with autism, but anyway, the ethics absolutely isn't met. Assessment, I don't think so. And then, again, as you mentioned, that this wasn't a clinical program. And then, finally, that there's no indication that any practicum experience was, clinical practicum experience was completed prior to internship. So that would also suggest that the internship itself wasn't sufficiently clinically oriented because there was no prior training to it.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to go ahead, since Dr. Bacon is on the line, I don't know if you want to add anything, but at this point, I really don't feel that this program meets the requirement, and I'm going to be moving it to the full board for really a recommendation for denial, or, you know, there is an opportunity to withdraw your application but I don't know if you want to add anything to this discussion.
Yeah, I'd like to add something. I am curious if you have protocols in place. It seems like you're unhappy with the requirements for the ethics course and assessment. Do you have requirements in place to submit documentation of additional courses to then satisfy that you are looking for in those areas?
No, the coursework does not meet the requirement.
I'm sorry, can you say that again?
The coursework does not meet the requirement, but if it was just the coursework, you do have the option to go and complete additional coursework, at an institution and demonstrate that you meet the requirement. But my fear is I do not want to make that recommendation because I think the whole premise of your degree is not in line with what we require for psychologists to get licensed in the state of Arizona. So if you went and told you to go take 2 additional courses, which you can, you know, you can get into an institution and take courses. So that's an easy requirement to meet, But I think there's still the whole question about your degree being in an applied psychology field with the practicum and the internship and the broad areas of psychology. And that's where the concern is coming from more than anything else. I mean, and yes, you might have to, you will need to do coursework too, but the degree is something that's difficult to rectify. You know, that's the degree you've earned. And so I do not want to make a recommendation that you take additional coursework because it doesn't take away the other issue.
It seems like a...
One second, Dr. Myers, go ahead.
Yeah, because it seems like the degree would require a clinical psychology respecialization, which some programs offer. So it's not the completing the whole doctorate program again, but it has that respecialization.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I read the requirements and understood that I didn't attend an APA-accredited program. I went to a more general psychology program. It wasn't counseling or education. But I was hoping that, you know, I could provide a lot of documentation that it was very clinically focused. I know there's some concern that there was a research component to it, which is true. I did conduct research while I was in graduate school, but it was all centered around clinical outcomes and clinical utility, so developing treatments and developing ways to diagnose earlier and diagnose quicker and better.
I think the issue doing research, I mean, that is a big part of many, many doctoral programs. So don't get me wrong, doing research is not considered a negative at all in your application. That's the strength of your application. But a psychologist who goes through clinically oriented, whether it's clinical counseling or school, goes through practicum, they learn a broad range of clinical skills. They learn how to give all kinds of psychological tests from the Wechsler to the MMPI. You know, they learn a broad range of psychological tests. They learn to diagnose. They take the DSM. There's some basic clinical training that somebody goes through when they complete a doctoral program in clinical counseling or school psychology, and that is common. Regardless, and we do accredit people from non-APA approved programs. Even today, you'll find if you stay on, well, we have many applicants that come, but they come from clinical-based programs that cover the range of clinical skills, training, micro skills in counseling and therapy, and then they go on to doing clinical practicums. And many of them do tremendous amount of research, too. So the research is not an issue. Your training, your program does not look like a psychology-based, applied psychology program. It is in, we have another license in our state in behavior in applied behavior analysis, and you're welcome to review that application and consider that. It is a license in Arizona. But it is difficult. So my recommendation at this point is move it to the full board, for a denial. And the board can review it, and you're welcome to attend the board meeting and present your case. I would love to get my colleague's opinion, but I want to give you the best fair chance, but the more I look at your program and even the syllabi you submitted, and your training, it just does not fit what I have seen over the last, I've read a lot of applications.
Mm-hmm. And I know you have my training program outline for my doctoral internship and my postdoctoral internship.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. That you reviewed the first time for the application. Mm-hmm. And it didn't seem like there was an issue with the placement for the training that I received during that time at the time of the initial review, but it sounds like maybe there's questions now. Just curious about that.
It's the whole package. If that was the only area
you know, I think you could make a good convincing case that you had psychologists supervising you, you were focused. People do focused internships. I've seen school psychologists go into an autism clinic. But it's the whole package. That's my concern. And the training does not fit the training for a psychologist. So at this point, I think we do need to move on. This is not a... you are welcome to come to the the board meeting when this will find. We're just making a recommendation at this point. So thank you, Dr. Bacon.
Can I ask any more questions?
Not at this point. Because the only other recommendation that I will share is, if you can submit the program material from your program that is in the catalog that describes this program.
Yes, that I submitted that for the first time. That should be in my file.
That should be in your file. I'm looking at it.
Yeah. The first round I submitted that as well.
Okay. Maybe I do see
Arizona accepts the Certificate of Professional Qualification as well. I believe that they're part of that now.
And if you get that, you're welcome to submit that. But I think you need 5 years of experience before you can.
Yes. I was just hoping to return to my home state a little bit sooner than that. I mean, I came out here to gather expertise from field leaders so I can then return to Arizona. So.
And you have licenses at, yes, and I am looking at, you include all the courses, so I'm looking for program description, and I'm not, like they talk about the doctor program, I don't know, program of study. And we do have a license that probably, you do need to look into, so.
I also am a BCBA, but, I think I practice as a psychologist, and that is my passion and what I would like to do. So, that's the focus.
Well, as I said, the full board will review your application and our recommendations. So I would encourage you to come to that meeting, and the board staff will be in contact with you. I'm not seeing a clear description of your program. There's many pages in here, and I'm just not seeing it. I see requirements for the MA, and then I'm looking down. And I don't see requirements for the doctoral program, the description of the doctoral program and what it's intended to lead towards. Can you normally see that? And maybe it's here, it's just that I see departmental PhD limits. Each year of graduate students involved in a research practicum. They don't even talk about a clinical practicum.
Not a clinical practicum piece, but I was in an exam study.
That's the big issue. This is applied psychology. We have to have an applied psychology degree. So,
right.
Anyway, Dr. Bacon, I do have to...
Okay, any information I could provide, I'm willing to.
Yeah. So... I think you've heard I did a very, very thorough review, much in greater depth than we normally do at this meeting. And so you're welcome to come to the next meeting. Thank you. I'd like to go back to agenda item 4A, requesting approval to sit for the exam. We have 4 candidates in this category. Dr. Meyer, we will kind of tag team. I'll do one, you do one, and I am hoping to be done by around 8:45 so I have another meeting at 9. So, hoping we can get through our agenda too. So, first one is Alicia Miller. She graduated with a suicide from Argosy. It is a non-ACS program. She completed an internship at Mesa
public schools. She was supervised by psychologists. She had a contract that described her psychology experience, all her coursework met the requirements, including practicum, internships, everything. She just requesting approval to sit for the exam. I didn't have any problems with her application.
Are you okay? I'm not sure if I missed it. I didn't see any syllabi or explanation of the courses.
She doesn't have to include unless we have a question. Then we will request it. And in her case, I have seen many a syllabi from, we've had many students. We don't request it. The only time students have to submit a syllabi is if it's a seminar and it's not clear or, an independent study.
Okay.
But if your coursework looks pretty self-explanatory, like her professional school psychology, ethics, Christian, professional ethics, conduct, and law, that looks like an ethics class, the research.
Great.
So when they are pretty explanatory, they don't need to include syllabi.
That was the only concern.
Yeah, then we can always request a syllabi, and we've done that on occasion. In this case, I've seen the syllabi in the past, and the titles are very self-explanatory.
Right. Okay.
Do you want to do Brian?
Yes, I can do Brian Arizmendi. He graduated from University of Arizona, completed an internship at a VA, and is on a postdoc at the VA. I didn't have any problems with him.
Okay. Okay, me too. Jessica Lynn Figner, University of Florida, AP-approved program, did an AP-approved internship. Again, everything was in order. I didn't have any problems with her application.
Nor did I.
Okay.
And with Kim Bui, APA program, APA internship, active duty on the Navy, I didn't see any problems with her.
Yeah. She indicated she wanted to use a pre-internship, but she didn't include it. So I'm going to assume that she's going to submit postdoc hours at some point. So also all good to go. I'll go ahead and make a motion that we move these four candidates to the full board for approval to sit for the exam. Do I hear a second?
Seconded.
Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay, motion approved. We will move to the next category to sit for the exam and licensure. The first candidate we have in this category is Chris Glowacki. He's a graduate from Midwestern University. He did an AP-approved internship. He also submitted pre-internship hours for consideration. His pre-internship hours do meet our requirements, and so I am okay with approving his application. Any concerns?
No concerns.
Okay. And I'll just go quickly talk about Elizabeth Johnson Heston. She's a REAC. She has been reviewed by our board. So we will go ahead and approve her to sit for the exam. Do you want to do Dr. Reza?
Yes. Dr. Reza had additional information. We previously reviewed him, had concerns about his training plan because he had failed the ECCC three times. I felt like he provided sufficient explanation about his training plan. The concern I had was that we also indicated he was using the title psychologist, and he used a definition from his employer and a pay stub to justify that he should be called a psychologist. But if you read through the material that he submitted, the VA says that if they're supposed to be independently licensed to be called a psychologist, and he should have been called a graduate psychologist. And he didn't seem to understand that there was any problem with him referring to himself as a psychologist. So that was my concern with him.
So that was my concern, too. As I read through the VA documentation, which I appreciated Dr. Reza submitting to us, there was a graduate psychologist, and there was another place in the document for people who have up to 2 years to get licensed, you know, while they're working on their post. There was a term called staff psychologist, you know. So I think he could use one of two terms when describing himself. So I think what I would like to do is invite Dr. Reza to attend the meeting next week and to see if he can get him to understand. So I think he's having trouble understanding the concept. And based on that, I think then, so I'll pull him out as a separate item with folks on the agenda, so we can at least ask him and see if he's willing to change that title from a psychologist to either a graduate psychologist or staff psychologist based on the documentation that he submitted to us. So when we need to state that we still have that concern, and if that can be rectified, then we can approve him to move forward. If he's not willing to change, then we would need to continue discussion. So.
I will let him know what's your recommendation.
Okay. Is that okay with you, Dr. Matt?
Yep, I'm great, yes.
The next one is... go ahead.
I was just going to say, Dr. Tinius as well. The concern I had was that his doctorate is from Capella, and it was a general psychology degree, not APA, not clinical.
Yes.
And then his internship was also a little bit questionable, with all 3,000 hours were done on the internship, and I wasn't sure. Not that, but the main one is the education.
The education. So I am totally with you. I think my recommendation is that we move him to the full board for a denial. I don't think we need to continue with asking for additional information. When you read his program description, they have a very, very clear statement. It says, the requirements for this specialization are not designed to prepare graduates for licensure as professional counselors or psychologists. So the program made it very clear that it was not intended for licensure. So I appreciated the program having that statement, so they were upfront in how they presented their program. But Dr. Tinius went a step further and created an internship and professional experience. Again, he had no practicums and all of the things that we are looking for. So I'm going to recommend that he be moved for denial.
And Madam Chair and Dr. Meyer, this is Heather. Mm-hmm. With Dr. Tinius and the other applicant, Dr. Bacon, that we're moving to the board with a recommendation of denial, do you want it to go to this coming meeting, March 8th, or would you like it to go to our next in-person meeting?
Maybe we need to give them extra time, you know, to prepare whatever statement, so maybe it could go to the April meeting.
Okay, thank you.
Dr. Tinius for sure, because Dr. Tinius is not here, so that would give Dr. Tinius, but I don't know if Dr. Bacon would prefer coming next week. So if you could check with her.
Okay, we will. Thank you.
Okay. The next one is Laura Jimenez-Arista. She got her doctorate from ASU in counseling psychology. She submitted pre-internship hours. She did an internship at the ASU Counseling Center for 2,000 hours. Everything in her application looked good. I had no problems with it.
I had no problems with it.
Okay. You want to do Nicole Farmer?
Yes. Dr. Farmer graduated from the University of Kansas in the counseling psych. It was APA accredited. She did a pre-doc, but didn't have a training plan for the pre-doc, program. She did a APA accredited internship with the VA, and then she's currently on a postdoc with the VA. She doesn't quite have enough hours from her postdoc and internship to qualify when you subtract the pre-doc hours. Either she needs to wait a little bit longer to have the 3,000 hours from her postdoc, or she needs to submit a training plan for her pre-doc position.
For her pre-internship, you mean, not pre-doc?
Yes, for pre-internship.
Yeah. So she has $518 in her pre-internship, which could look like it could meet the requirements, and they filled out the next page. And now she does include a syllabus, and we do accept the syllabus, especially if it's a practicum, you know, because that is the kind of the agreement. So we have accepted syllabi in the past. And initially, when we wrote the statute, you know, we just said something that is, it's an organized training experience. That's how most people who do outside clinical tend to have a training agreement, but we have accepted a syllabus. And if you look at the syllabus, you know, it has course objectives, which is kind of the goals of the program. It talks about supervision. It talks about the expectations and obviously includes evaluation components as well. So I'm okay with accepting that, Dr. Meyer, as
okay.
Part of
that.
Yeah. And, and we've seen that, especially for in-house clinical experiences, you know, oftentimes you don't see an agreement, you see a syllabus, and so that's, as I said, is acceptable by the board. And so between that, then, are you okay? I think she, in my notes, I noted that she did meet the requirements because of the syllabus, which was something new for you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, if that's sufficient, everything else is great. So I'm happy to approve that one.
Okay, and the last one in this category is Dr. Rosalba Mata. And, you know, when we reviewed her last time, she had the same sexy niggling, you know, the memory thing, but it was a few years ago. So
right.
I appreciated Dr. Mata submitting, because we did deny her first internship. And we told her to go back and get another internship, which she did. It does meet the requirements. We were concerned that it wasn't tied to coursework in a program. It was mostly post-degree. Yesterday, we had a meeting, the Rules Committee met, and we were actually reviewing when, you know, so we do, it is allowable, or people can submit clinical hours post hoc, you know. We do that for foreign graduates oftentimes, so you have the applied psychology degree. And if people have a situation like Rosalba, she went ahead and did a new internship in good faith that was aligned with our standards. And so, based on all the information that was submitted, I am inclined to approve it and move her forward. What are your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, once I reviewed the initial recommendations from 2017, the concern was that for the first part of her internship, she wasn't supervised by two psychologists. Mm-hmm. So, in the application, one of the things we noticed was that there was a delay from when she said she was going on internship from her school to what her hours indicated. And I think the new hours in this application are based on when a second psychologist was there. And so that addressed my concern. I understood it better. So I feel like she meets the requirements.
Yes. Okay. I think, she came and met before the board on at least one, if not more, occasions, and left with some direction. Both doesn't give advice, but left with some direction, and so I think in this category, I'll go ahead and make a motion. We are going to move forward, Dr. Blowacki, Dr. Johnson Heston, Dr. Reza with a caveat that he needs before the board to discuss how he's representing himself. Dr. Jimenez Arista, Dr. Farmer, and Dr. Mata to the full board for approval to sit for the exam in licensure, and that we are moving Dr. Tinius forward for a denial, but this one could be either the upcoming meeting or the April meeting. So, do I hear a second?
Seconded.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We're done with this category. We can move on to the next one, requesting approval for licensure by waiver. This category is not very clean. I'm starting to dread the waiver category, I guess.
Dr. Mark, could you answer a quick question for me? What are the rules for evaluating the applications based on waiver?
The rules are the same. Unless it's a credential thing, which is very straightforward, waiver rules are the same. Now, who knows what might change because there's, legislation out there. So, where people have been licensed before and moving to our state, but in the meantime, they need to meet the requirements. So I'll talk about Dr. Stein. And Dr. Stein, I don't know if he's been licensed anywhere else. He's doing it by waiver, and he said 20 years. Unfortunately, when I did the math, it was 19 years. So he can keep his, how long can he keep his application open, Ms. Rodas, Ms. Stokes?
He has 240 days from the initial application when it was submitted or from when the committee requests additional information. He can request extensions of the application after the 240 days. And if he requests an extension of his overall time frame for the application, the executive director can approve that. And it gives him an additional
30 days. For how long? 30, okay.
Madam Chair, Ms. Dr. Myers, this is Kathy.
Sorry, go ahead, Kathy.
Madam Chair, the Utah verification of licensure states that his original date of licensure was February 1st, 1990. I believe that is more than 20 years.
2019, so it's 19 years, not 20. I did the math. Unless I'm wrong in my math, it's 19 years.
Well, it's 1990, 2000 would be 10 years, and 2010 would be 20 years.
29 years.
Oh.
29 years.
Okay, so it's 29 years. Okay, good. Sorry, I told you my math could be wrong, and it was off by 10 years. So it's 29 years. Well, sorry, that's embarrassing, but my math was off by a whole 10 years. Anyway, okay, no problem with him. I'm okay.
No problem.
You want to do the next one, and I will stop doing math in public.
Currently,
I'm probably hearing you, Doctor. It's kind of breaking up. You come in and out. Is that Heather, Kathy, are you all hearing the same thing?
Yes.
Yes, we are.
I mean, the coming in and out.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you, but there's some kind of disturbance.
Okay,
Yes, that would be fine. If you want to, we can take a brief break.
Okay. I will hang up and call back in.
Okay.
Now you are really cool.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it was how I was holding the phone. I'll keep talking, you know, if you have any problems.
Okay. Go ahead.
So Dr. Wolston completed an APA-approved program in Texas. The issue with her is that by design, the program, well, am I getting that correct? Yeah.
That is Krishni, I think you're talking about.
Oh, sorry, you're right. Okay.
Because mm-hmm. when you said
yes, okay. No, yes, sorry. Dr. Wolston had internship, postdoc. I didn't see any concerns with hers.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, you're right. And we already did Dr. Bacon, and I'll do quickly right. Dr. Fishney. Dr. Krishni, the department chair, provided an explanation that did do a part-time internship, and that particular kind of experience is also part of the AP approval process with the state coursework. And then I reviewed our statutes, and our statutes say that you have to complete, doesn't say you have to complete all coursework, it says you have to complete relevant coursework. And I looked at her coursework, and she'd had a practicum, she had assessments, you know, she had, in my opinion, relevant coursework. So I don't think I have a problem with the explanation. Is that your opinion too, Dr. Martin?
Yes, I'm, I like your interpretation better. I was thinking that perhaps it could, go to the full board because I felt like it should be accepted, but yeah, so I agree to just accept it.
Yeah, especially when I saw the statute that said relevant coursework, and then I looked at the coursework, and you know, so okay, you want to do Jessica Weeks?
Okay, Jessica Weeks, just passed her ECCP in 2018. And
cutting out again.
Was not APA accredited. And she did information about her coursework, which would be needed. Internship was APA accredited. Postdoc hours I was concerned about. It looks like they said she did 2,000 hours for the postdoc, but was only receiving 1 hour of supervision for 40 hours of work. And so they tried to just say, well, then half the hours, 1,000 hours would count. But if she was just receiving 1 hour a week, she wasn't receiving sufficient supervision during the,
yes.
the postdoc.
So I think my recommendation is that she's done 3 internship hours, she indicates in her application, and maybe we would send it back to her and say a postdoc doesn't meet our requirements. We've had that happen before from folks in Oregon. And so we will send that back to her, and then we will also remind her that she can use pre-internship hours if they are lying. Okay. So that's Jessica. The next person is Lucinda Gray. She's also applying by waivers. Now, she's been licensed 30 years. I did get my math right here. So she meets the waiver category. One of her licenses was licensed until 2019, but I think at the day they filled out the reference form, they were retired. I don't know whether that's an issue or not, because they were licensed, except I think, I don't know. So, any, I mean, I am inclined to accept the reference, but I don't want us to be
The other concern was that her program wasn't APA accredited when she graduated.
That doesn't matter. We don't require APA accreditation. Oh, but let me, no, I should back up.
Well, but then she would still need to provide information about her coursework.
She does. She does need to provide information. That's what I mean. Yeah, she does need to provide information about her course. She cannot leave that blank. You know, she says it was accredited.
She did, but
yes.
The form, the accreditation verification by our board staff says that it was initialed in 3/21/78, and to me it looks like she graduated, her degree was conferred in 1977.
Okay, so yeah, it's accredited, was accredited for a degree. So, okay. So we will need for her to complete her coursework form. I'm looking through her coursework. She's had, well, she needs to complete her coursework. So.
Yeah, that was the only concern I had.
Yeah, okay, so we will send her a letter. And, okay. And then we have Nicole Panikis. Her application, she got her degree at NTS University, pre-doc APA, post-doc, met the requirements. I didn't have any problems with the application.
No problems.
Okay.
And Dr. Malott and Dr. Meyer, the final agenda does have Margaret Bradley to be reviewed. And you were sent her application on Monday?
Yes. I can review Dr. Bradley.
Okay, go ahead.
So she's 20-plus years licensed in Colorado, also licensed as a nurse. CIDE in 1994 from University of Colorado. It was in counseling psych, was not APA accredited. Her internship did have sufficient hours. And she did complete the coursework information. I don't think there were any issues for me. Sorry, no, that's not correct. I don't think there was a verification. Let me just double check. Right, she had applicant reference, but she didn't have verification of internship.
Now she, did you say 20 years though? Did you say 20 years?
Yes.
Then she doesn't need that.
Okay. Then no problems.
Okay. Because with the 20 years, then we waive both the internship and the pre-doc. The only thing we don't waive is coursework, which has been a problem in many cases, you know.
Yeah.
So, coursework, as you know, has evolved over the years. So that's something for consideration at a future meeting. Okay. And the next one is Tracy Ryan, Tracy Ryan did her degree at Alliance University, and And she got her degree in, let me look at her transcript, in 2003. The degree is AP approved, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct, Ms. Polk?
So her degree was not APA approved because it was in forensic and not clinical.
Oh, yes, that's correct. Yeah, now I remember thinking, why did she mark not APA approved? Because it's a specialty that wasn't approved by APA. Uh-huh. But I think she met the coursework requirements. And she did an internship. Look at her internship. Her internship was at an, she said it was an APIC site, but I didn't see any information on the APIC site. Did we review whether it was an APIC approved internship? I'm asking both staff.
I apologize. I must not have, I thought I had gotten the, proof that it was, but it is not in the file.
Okay.
She doesn't have enough she didn't receive enough supervision. I guess if it's APIC approved, we'd skip that.
It is an APIC site. It is part of the APIC site, so, you know, I think probably need, yeah, it is an APIC site. I just checked APIC. And typically, if it's an APIC, you know, we don't fill that out. But I think the 40 for 52 hours, she needed 100 at least, what, 75 hours.
Right.
Her reference was also old, 2006. She has been licensed for 12 years, so a postdoc wasn't needed. But what I'm wondering is, she did her internship in 2005-2006. I'm wondering whether this was an APIC site back in 2005, you know? So... I'm looking at the APIC page right now, and additional information, do they say, Ms. Folks, do they indicate since when they were APIC?
The last, the only published directory for APIC, the last one we have available to us is 2007 to 2008. I hadn't realized that's why I didn't have it, because I can't get it.
No, you can look it up online, though. It's available online.
Mm-hmm. For that year?
Can you look it up? I think there should be more information. I mean, there should be a way to find out since when. I think the last one, I used to provide the board with directories from my program. You know, I would give the previous one. That's how you have that one. But now you can look it up online, and you can also look it up. So we do need to look at that. Why don't we go ahead and we need to send a letter anyway to request reference information. And we need more information on since when it was the internship, and it was APIC at the time of completing. So,
okay.
So, but we have that information in APA journals. Every December, they publish all the sites that are approved. So we can look at the 2006-07 or whatever the year she completed it. So we can look that up, and I can download those articles so you have all the years, because we shouldn't be looking at an older one. So, okay. So let's go ahead and review that and go ahead and send a letter for the letter. And regardless, even if it was approved, we do need to make a note in the letter that this is a concern. We've had that happen before when we've noticed it was an APA approved at APIC, but the supervision doesn't match our requirements. So even though we will approve it, we do need to say that this is, you know, this is a concern. I don't know how we handled that before, because I remember recently, about a few months ago, we noticed that for another applicant. Heather, do you remember that? Do you have that concern?
I'm remembering correctly and I think it was a board directive that we did send APIC a letter, just noting the board's concern.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So with the site, you know, this is a long time ago, and, you know, the other one was more recent. So, okay, so I'll work with board staff on the letter, and but we will review it next month again. So we're ready to make a motion to, do you want to make the motion, Dr. Meyer?
You'll have to help me with which ones, but I make a motion to move to the board for approval Dr. Stein, Dr. Wilson, Dr. Pishney, and Dr. Spanicus, Dr. Bradley, and I believe that's it, correct?
Yeah. And Dr. Bradley was the, Dr. Bradley. Yes, and then added to your motion would be Dr. Bacon for a denial to the full board and additional information for Dr. Gray and Dr. Moreno.
And Dr. Weeks?
And I think...
And Dr. Weeks.
Yes. Okay. Okay. I will second that. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Sorry. Motion approved. We're done with this category. We move to item D, requesting approval of postdoctoral experience for licensure. The first one we have is Aubrey Ann Hardesty. She's submitting her postdoctoral experience in class to ECCC. Her postdoctoral experience looks like it meets her requirements, so I don't have a problem with her application.
I don't have a problem either.
I'll make a motion that we move Dr. Hardesty to the full board for approval of postdoctoral experience for licensure. Do I hear a second?
Seconded.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye, motion approved. We have category number E. Dr. Myers, do you want to do a quick overview?
Yes. Dr. Flores was requesting licensure through credential with the National Register of Health Service Providers in Psychology, and has been licensed more than 5 years, so everything looked good to me from his application. Did you have any concerns?
No. You want to make a motion?
Okay, yes. So I make a motion to move Dr. Juan Flores to the board for approval. All in favor? Oh, do I have a second?
I second it, and I'll all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved. We can go to the last item, which is F. We have one applicant, Dr. Danielle Weston. She's a graduate of Augustine in 2018 in clinical psych, which was APA approved at the time, she is a Nevada. She did her internship at Nevada. She's currently doing a postdoc at Southwest. We have a training agreement. Everything else seemed in order. I had no problems with that.
I had no problems.
Okay. So I'll make a motion that we move Dr. Weston to the full board for approval for temporary licensure. Do I hear a second?
Seconded.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion approved. We are done with this category. new agenda items for future meetings, many agenda items, and I'm not sure. I think one of the things that I would like to consider, maybe in the Rules Committee or maybe somewhere, is, you know, applicants that are getting waived their license, you know, their pre-doc and post-doc, that we don't do a coast-by-coast review, you know, because oftentimes, as long as their degree is in applied psychology, and you've been licensed for 30 years, it's difficult. So to meet it that in current terms, because coast standards keep changing. So I'd like that item. So it's come up before, and I'd like for us to consider it at some point, not in this meeting, but maybe in some other meeting, so the whole board can discuss it. So.
And Dr. Before we move to adjournment, can we have a go back to agenda item 3, approval of minutes?
Oh, sorry, we skipped over that. Do I item number 3, approval of minutes? Do I hear a motion to approve?
So motioned.
Second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion approved, minutes are approved, we have completed. Again, I want to thank everybody, thank both staff for their work and putting all the materials together. I really appreciate it. I want to thank you, Dr. Myers. You know, I think this was not the easiest set of applications. I had lots of different variations, but it's all part of the training, so I was glad to see the variety of applications.
I'm learning every time. This is great.
Yeah, there's so many variations out there that it comes with experience. So thank you again for your thorough review and your input throughout the meeting. We can move to item number 6, adjournment. Do I hear a motion to adjourn?
Motion to adjourn.
Second, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
The meeting is adjourned. Thank you again, and we will talk to you in a week. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye, all.